We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling. Thanks to our Twitter followers and everyone hitting us up. They wanted a special show, so I had to get Andreas Hale on the phone. We had to do this emergency episode of the Corner Podcast because Ronda Rousey got knocked the hell out.
Dog, holy shit. The fuck?
Crazy.
Yo, all I got are curse words right now. What the fuck? What the fuck happened?
Listen, this is what happens when you get Hollywood, right? Like, just leading up to it, everyone, they thought they saw the same Ronda, but there was the Travis Brown stuff. There was her mom talking about the trainer going through bankruptcy, Ronda doing a million different spots and going on late night television. And that's cool. She's done that for other fights. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up to you. And okay. She spent more time doing that than figuring out Holly Holm.
Well, you know what? So here's my thing. There's a couple things. First of all, we're doing this a little later because I was at the Showbox show. Unfortunately, I had to cover some Showtime fights, so I had to watch this a little bit later. And since I was out last week sick, I didn't get a chase to talk about this. When the Chasing Tyson 30 for 30 was on, I got a really bad feeling about Ronda Rousey. I didn't think she was going to lose, but I was watching, you know, when Tyson fell apart, and I was watching Ronda landing on the cover of Ring. And I was watching all these things about Ronda, 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 and I was like, yo, this is a really bad omen. Not saying that Ronda wasn't prepared for this fight. It was the fact that she was fighting a stand-up fighter who only focused on her and knew what her weaknesses were and knew exactly what she needed to do to get rid of Ronda Rousey. I was so surprised that she was able to shrug off the takedowns. That's what shook me.
But, well, Ronda didn't have a plan B. There was no plan B at all. Ronda.
Man, I'm dumbfounded because I'm like maybe about 5 to 10 minutes fresh off of watching this. And there was nothing she could do. She was getting countered coming in. Like right off the rip, I noticed when Ronda was coming in and Holly was countering her and moving laterally to her, circling away from her. These were boxing techniques. This was straight kickboxing techniques. And Ronda has always had pretty subpar boxing. It just works up against other women who aren't as skilled boxing. And she just got picked apart. She got decimated.
Yeah, Ronda, for some reason, and it's partially because of her skill set, to get women on the ground, she needs to judo throw them. So you can see that Holly and her camp really worked on just not getting thrown to the ground. There was that one time where Holly actually turned it into a takedown for herself. And then she was able to get on top of Ronda, and then she let Ronda back up so they could be on the feet. But that just showed how much preparation she did for being thrown. And Ronda doesn't have a single leg takedown. She doesn't have a double leg takedown. She doesn't have these wrestling skills. Just the judo throw was enough before. But this time it wasn't enough. So now she has to evolve. She has to learn more skills. She has to change her game. Because now people have the blueprint and they're catching up. And everyone can't do it. But we see a fighter that's bigger than her like Cyborg. If Cyborg just plants 2 feet and doesn't get thrown, what happens there? And then now we see Holly Holm, who's the champion. And she just said, you're not going to throw me. And I'm not going to let you just come and clinch all day. And Ronda had no answers for it. So Ronda now has to focus. She has to take her time. I don't know if she stays with the same trainer. She felt her boxing was on a different level. She could win boxing championships. She was wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to put it like this. I don't think anybody's catching up to Ronda except for Holly Holm at this point. I don't think there's anybody that can beat her except for a skilled stand-up. And that's what I said a long time ago. I just think that Holly Holm, because she's looked so subpar against Raquel Pennington and Mary Renault, that when she got the call for Ronda, I was like, there's no way this girl's going to beat her. Because she hasn't looked on point. Her stand-up was decent, but she hasn't looked to the point where I felt like if Ronda got her to the ground, I thought there was going to be no problem. I thought that Ronda was going to close the distance quick, get her hands on her, judo throw her, armbar, good night. I thought it would be a bad idea if Ronda was going to stand with her, and I said a couple of podcasts ago, I don't think that was going to happen. I didn't think Ronda was going to stand with her. But as soon as she got countered, you could see the fight drain from Ronda's face. You could see that she was in with something she had never dealt with before. It wasn't Betch Korea. It wasn't Misha Tate, who even Misha Tate caught her a couple good ones. It wasn't, you know, Alexis Davis. It wasn't any of these girls. It was a skilled boxer who evolved into a decent kickboxer who knew exactly what to do with somebody who charges in with their head straight up and never getting their head off the line. She was there to get countered all night. I just didn't think that head kick that flattened her. Oh, my God.
Oh, Ronda got up, and she got up, first of all, with both hands down at her side, like she forgot she was in a fight. And that goes back to another point in which the fight was moved up 2 months. Dana White did Ronda Rousey no favors. We always looked at it like, oh, Holly Holm needs the time for this fight. Holly Holm needs time to prepare. Ronda needed time.
No, it wouldn't have mattered.
If this fight's in January.
No, it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered.
Oh, Ronda was gassed by the middle of the first round.
But it wouldn't
if
have
you
mattered.
Watch her mouth is open the entire time. She can't even breathe through her nose. She is dead tired.
But that had nothing to do.
This is what happens
do.
When you move a camp up.
Nah, this had nothing
think
to do
Ronda
with moving.
Superwoman.
No, it had nothing to do with moving a camp up. She got caught with a better skilled fighter, and that took the fight out of her. It had nothing.
Oh,
you could. It could have been.
Her
this fight,
energy was drained.
But it like, wouldn't. It didn't matter. She could have prepared another 5 months for this fight. She did not know what she was in.
I disagree. Like, the way she got knocked out was she's sloppily throwing punches. She falls on her own accord from throwing a punch because she had no energy. She had no stamina. Everything was gone.
You think that had to
so
do with
the
camp?
She fell on her own accord. Like, it's not like...
Dude, this
there was something where she gets clipped on the chin and then falls and then gets kicked. She threw a wild punch. She slips, hits the deck.
What do you think
would have
happened?
Kicked in her head.
What would have happened in 2 months? Let me explain something to you. When Mike Tyson prepared for fights, he prepared for quick finishes. Ronda Rousey prepares for fights for quick finishes. She does not prepare. She did not prepare for a 5-round fight. Even though mentally she says she did, her body didn't react for a 5-round fight. You could have made this fight. In March, it wouldn't have mattered. Her conditioning wouldn't have been there because she wouldn't have known how to deal with a counterpuncher like that.
Well, she needs to condition better. That's it, because 5 rounds, and she can't get an armbar in 5 rounds.
You can't,
I didn't think
blame this on conditioning. You cannot blame this on conditioning.
She fell short in her conditioning because she was dead-ass tired
she
after
was
2 minutes.
Dog, she was ruined because she was getting punched in the face. That'll take the fight out of you. Had nothing to do with conditioning. Because if she was conditioned, she would still got countered. Like, ask any fighter who goes into a fight and gets completely decimated from their plan A and has no plan B, they're going to look tired.
Most definitely. But we saw what Holly Holm did against other women for 3 rounds and not getting them out of there, and they chased her, and they didn't rush and just be sloppy and slip. And Ronda, at one point, Holly looked at her like she was stupid. She threw that left hook this time, and Holly ducked right under it and made Ronda fall like an idiot. And Holly's like, you have nothing left in the gas tank.
But that's bad stand-up. That's bad stand-up. That's not bad conditioning. Ronda got wrecked by a better fighter tonight. Her conditioning didn't matter tonight. It had nothing to do with the fight. Ronda wouldn't have won this fight if she was well-conditioned. She just wasn't prepared.
It would have went longer. No, she would have taken an ass-whipping in 5.
It wouldn't have went longer because she would still got rocked with the same punches. It wouldn't have mattered. Nothing she would have done tonight mattered because she wasn't prepared. When you're ill-prepared, when Mike Tyson... fought Evander Holyfield. I'm not going to use the Buster Douglas comparison because he was ill-prepared for that fight. But when he fought Evander Holyfield, there was nothing he could do in that fight. He was going to lose that fight. There was nothing he could do. His conditioning has always been subpar because he's used to getting people out of there quickly. He prepares. He runs the miles. But that didn't mean that he was going to be prepared to go the distance against somebody who was going to beat the shit out of him. There's nothing Ronda could do tonight.
So you're saying if there's a rematch, there's nothing Ronda can do again?
If there's a rematch, there's going to be a completely different game plan. And it's either going to be, A, we're going to grapple, I'm going to close the distance better because my stand-up is never going to be as good as Holly Holmes, or B, I'm going to bite her ears like Tyson Holyfield too. that's really all there is to it, because I'm not saying that Ronda can't beat Holly, because she can. But the game plan, the overconfidence in her stand-up ruined her.
It did.
And
I first minute of the fight, that's what I tweeted. I said, I miss the old Ronda Rousey that came in, judo flip chicks, and went for arm bars. Now she thinks she's a boxer, and it's horrible.
Yeah, she never had good stand-up. It was good enough. But when you're fighting a woman who's been boxing for far longer than Ronda's even been doing MMA. You're in with a different beast, and your game plan has to change. So when there is a rematch, the rematch is going to have a lot to do with how do you close the distance faster and how do you get Holly Holm to the ground. Because what the one thing is for sure, if Ronda would have got Holly on the ground and taken, you know, a mount position or side control, she would have armbarred her. But she didn't know how to get her to the ground. Holly
and the one time she was on the ground, Holly did a great job of just really being calm, slipping out, and working back to the feet.
Yeah,
but Ronda was going for an armbar then. She damn near had it.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't prepared for this. I mean, like I said, a lot of things happened in the first couple of minutes of the fight. In the first 60 seconds of the fight, everything changed. I'm looking at my computer screen as I watch it on my computer, and I had my mouth open. I was like, oh, she's about to get her ass kicked. Because she's getting popped in the mouth, and she doesn't know how to react. Like, you can watch a fighter not know how to react to getting counterpunched.
She had no clue how to defend it. And shout out to Holly Holm and everyone at, you know, Jackson's MMA, Jackson's Wank MMA, and that was a great game plan. And one of my other tweets, and I stand by this, I saw a lot of John Jones tonight in Holly. Her mannerism, she threw that elbow tonight. She had the push kick to the thigh, the way that she controlled the length of the fight and the distance, her takedown defense. These are all staples that made John Jones a champion.
Well, I mean, this is Winklejohn.
Yeah, that's
all Mike Winklejohn. That's all Mike Winklejohn.
I'm telling you, that's the game plan John Jones beat Daniel Cormier with. No one else could beat DC.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
John Jones went in and he said, you're a grappler. You have to fight in close range, and I'm not going to let you do that. And that's the exact same game plan they took into this fight with Holly Holm. We're not going to let you get close.
Yeah, I mean, that is the Winklejohn trademark. Like, if you watch the people that have worked with Winklejohn that have decent stand-up, like, if you even look back when Melvin Garb was working with Wink, and you watch how his stand-up evolved, because Wink knows how to control space in an octagon. Like that's the thing that Winklejohn does better than any other trainer in MMA, is he understands how to control space and distance. And he instills that into his fighters. That's how John Jones became so much more polished as a striker. Holly Holm has done the same thing, because what Holly didn't have, I don't think, was the confidence to understand that you are so much better than these girls in your stand-up. Because, and it didn't show against Mary Renault and against Raquel Pennington. She looked decent. She didn't look like the killer, you know, when she was fighting on the indie scene. But now, you know, she's fighting somebody like Ronda Rousey. She came in prepared, and she knew, and Wink knew. Wink said it, if you look at the embeddings and everything else, we're going to expose Ronda Rousey's weaknesses. And that's exactly what they did. From the first 30 seconds of the fight, they knew exactly what they were going to do. And Ronda had no plan B. Her coach, like, in the corner?
He didn't even say anything in the corner.
The fight was over in the corner.
Horrible advice. No, yeah, it was just, yo, I watched that. I was like, yo, you didn't say anything. Like there's no adjustment.
You don't tell,
she just wants to hit you with the left. Like, no, she's hitting you with everything.
You don't tell somebody who's losing that she just wants to hit you in the left when she's beating the shit out of you with both hands and her feet. You tell her something else. Like, Ronda, we're in trouble. We got to figure something out. Like, there was no advice.
She comes back and you don't say, work the takedown. Yeah. Get this fight to the ground.
Close the distance.
Slow the pace. If anything, slow the pace and wear her down on the ground. Because how do you stop movement? One, if you can't leg kick people, like we saw Joanna do tonight, or if you can't hit people with body shots because you can't get close enough, you put them on the ground and you wear them out.
You gotta do something.
And that should have been a game. He said nothing. No. And I don't know if Ronda's mom was spot on and it was just real easy before this and he looked better than he was.
I mean, she could be right.
Because Ronda was better than, you know, than everyone else. But now, when it mattered, and he had to coach her up and teach her something and try to change the game plan, he was silent.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was problems all the way around. And then people are talking about the weigh-ins, and Ronda looked really light and all this. Listen, I don't know what happened. She failed on, like, a million different levels.
She failed on one level. Even if she wasn't prepared. I don't think, we can make excuses about her weight. That didn't matter. They both came at the same weight. We can make excuses about her conditioning, the shortened time. None of this really affected Ronda as well as Holly Holm's game plan did. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about the interviews. I don't care about any of that. The game plan is what picked apart Ronda. What are you doing? Throwing stuff?
Yo.
What's happening over there?
It's like, it's 12:30 right now. And I was trying to walk to my kitchen, forgot to turn the light on, knock some shit over. Listen, I'm listening to you. And I understand. I mean, we got to give Holly Holm respect. And it was the perfect game plan for Ronda specifically. Now we'll see if Ronda takes a long layoff. Does she come in? Does she fight someone else? Does she fight Amisha Tate? Does she fight someone else? How good is she in that circumstance? Because now it was just Ronda focused. Now, like, are you good enough to carry the belt and do other stuff? Or if the UFC even lets her fight. Or Ronda gets the next rematch and Holly, you got to wait for as long as Ronda wants to wait. Because UFC 200, if you two have a rematch, it's making us way too much damn money.
Look. The biggest winner of tonight was Amisha Tate. Amisha Tate is the biggest winner. If there is any way to justify Amisha Tate getting a title shot against Holly Holm, because if Ronda is dead ass serious about taking a break, because when you lose something like this, it's not you don't want to. Your immediate reaction is going to be, let me get back in the cage as quick as possible. But the reality sets in is that, you know what, you need more time to prepare, and perhaps Amisha Tate, for all the bitching and moaning that Misha has done for the past few months, which is justified. She's justified in a lot of her complaints. She could slip into this fight and get a chance against Holly Holm. And being as great as a wrestler as Misha Tate is, that could be a very, very interesting fight.
It'd be Misha's best chance at getting the title. Because once again, it's, do you want to beat Ronda or do you want to be champion?
No, she wants to
be
champion.
As long as she doesn't care how she gets to the title. Just like DC, he couldn't beat John, but the chance came up to beat someone else to get the championship, and guess what? You're the champion. So it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get the belt. As long as she's cool with that, she takes the fight. Yeah. And we'll see if Dana wants to risk Holly taking a loss, because that's a lot of money. To me, Dana White is the biggest winner tonight, because before tonight, if Ronda would have won, then it's who does Ronda face next? Who is Amisha? Now you're depending on Cyborg to cut weight, and that's always there. And it's hard. You have to build up another villain or another good guy to Ronda's villain. And you have to do all this over again, and she has to sell. Now it sells itself. The rematch will be three times as big as this fight is tonight. Everyone wants to see how Ronda bounces back.
I don't know.
So now that's going to sell out everywhere.
I don't know if Dana's the biggest winner out of this. I think this is bad.
This is great for the UFC.
Nah, this is why I'm gonna say. Like, it's good in some senses that the rematch is gonna be great, but Holly Holm is not gonna be the star that Ronda Rousey was.
She just needs to do it for one more fight, and that's against Ronda.
But that's what I'm saying. Long term, this isn't what Dana White wanted to see happen. I mean, I don't know what happens to this Roadhouse movie that Ronda's in. I'm not saying that they cancel any of these things, but the momentum that Ronda Rousey had was so much bigger being undefeated and just rolling through people. Like
for
the UFC, because I mean,
that's her money.
But
he's not making money off of a movie. He's not making money off of WWE. But he's not making money off of any of these appearances.
But what I'm saying is the exposure.
He's going to make money off of the rematch. Now, it's built already.
But what I'm saying is the exposure that Ronda had brought a lot more attention to the UFC and is the reason why Ronda Rousey was the biggest draw in MMA. She was the most popular fighter on the planet now that Floyd Mayweather had retired.
And if she comes back and she fights the rematch and she wins again, she'll keep it moving.
Now, I don't think it'll be the same. A lot of luster just got knocked off for Ronda Rousey tonight.
Then people don't know what MMA is about. It's very rare to be undefeated in MMA.
Duh.
In anything. Boxing, any combat sport.
Mike Tyson appealed to people because he knocked people out. He didn't appeal to boxing fans. He appealed to people who never watched boxing in their life. Ronda Rousey appeals to people who don't watch MMA. And when you appeal to people who don't watch MMA, that's what gets you to a million buys. It has nothing to do with appealing to me. Like, I don't care. Like, you know,
and they love that she was getting chicks out in 30 seconds.
That's my point.
They didn't know her record.
But when you lose, when Mike Tyson loses, it's not the same. Like when you lose, it's not. If Floyd Mayweather would lose, like people in boxing go, this is great. But casual fans go, oh, he's not undefeated anymore. I'm not buying that pay-per-view. I don't care.
No, that okay. So if Mayweather, listen, Mayweather went and fought Berto and took maybe a quarter of what he got in a Pacquiao fight. I might be even generous with that. But if he would have lost to Manny Pacquiao and then came and fought Pacquiao again in that same Berto slot, that fight would have done more pay-per-view buys than the first one.
But my point is you're only talking about one fight. A rematch. That's not what we're doing. I'm talking about long-term. Ronda Rousey.
He doesn't have a long term. She was gone in 2 years. Who cares?
That is a long term. That's six pay per views with a million buys per pay per view. That's 6 million. You put her
and then you do the rematch. Wait. If she wins,
what
you
I'm saying
sell.
Is you put her in UFC 200 against Cyborg. That's huge. Like this is huge. But Ronda was doing a million pay per views fighting nobodies. This is my point is that Dana, you win in the rematch, but does Holly Holm really have staying power? Like we're not talking about Holly Holm being pound for pound one of the best fighters in the world. We're just saying
no,
she'd be
not
Ronda
at
Rousey.
All.
But that's my point. Holly Holm
it's the good point of winning tonight though. Tonight is the only time she needs to win. If Ronda comes and beats her in the rematch, then you have Ronda versus Cyborg next winner, and it's still big.
Oh, do you?
And then you have Ronda against anyone.
If Ronda wins, there's a trilogy.
Fine.
But what if Ronda?
And then you give her Cyborg in a year.
But what if Ronda loses?
Ronda's gonna keep rolling.
But what if Ronda loses? Like it's
then
not
the cash cow stops. But you got two mega fights out of it.
But that's my point. My point is that you don't necessarily want your cash cow to stop. Like
a year earlier than anticipated.
It could have been longer than a year. You never really know how long this Ronda Rousey thing was gonna go. Even if she says 2 years, Bernard Hopkins says he's going to retire at 40. The motherfucker's 50. I'm just saying, like, the thing with Ronda is, like, it wasn't going to stop. Like, her being Captain Marvel right now is in the dust. Like, all these things that Ronda was going to do have kind of fallen by the wayside. If Holly,
not Dana White's problem.
It is Dana White's problem. That is your star. Like you're not living off of just a rematch. You're living off of a future. Like, Conor McGregor's your other star. If Conor McGregor loses on December 12th, you just lost your two biggest draws who have just lost. Casual fans, that's a problem.
But we always see there's always the next. You use them for however long they are there. When people lose, cool, she lost, so the luster's gone.
I mean,
a little bit. Now use her for one more rematch, get the big payday, and then you use the next person.
There's not always a next in MMA. It's a little bit different. Ronda Rousey was an anomaly. Mike Tyson.
No, we got 15 years. We don't even know.
That's my point.
The basis isn't long enough.
But that's my
point. But when Liddell and Tito Ortiz and all these people are fighting, and then we were like, man, we don't know who's next. And
oh,
then
no. Yes,
boom,
we did.
We
oh,
have
yes,
mega
we
stars.
There was no shock when Chuck Liddell retired. Like, MMA fighters are different. There's always somebody waiting in the wings that's decent. But nobody saw Ronda Rousey coming like this. Nobody saw
and
this.
And someone, no one will see who the next person is. And they'll come and take everything by storm.
I mean,
there's always something else. Man. The UFC has built that, at least. Their brand is big enough that there's always a next one. They'll always create someone.
Okay, so do me a favor. Go back and look before Ronda Rousey and look at the pay-per-view buys. After Brock Lesnar, before Ronda Rousey. Watch the pay-per-view buys. And you tell me who was next. George St. Pierre was doing good numbers. He was their star. Who else was there?
But now the door is open. So now you're talking about, like, now it's mainstream. Like,
okay,
now ESPN has caught on.
Give me
now
a name.
Now these other networks have caught on.
Do you
no,
think,
but it's
wait,
going
wait.
Forward.
Do
Conor McGregor now does numbers. People don't
okay.
know who the hell Conor McGregor is. He does
do
better numbers
think,
damn near than GSP.
Name another MMA fighter that's going to be hosting ESPN, covering Ring Magazine. Covering Ring Magazine. Name me another MMA fighter that's going to do that.
Can you give it some time? I'm saying
nope,
the person
not.
Is not here yet, but there will always be another person.
But I'm not, because that's an anomaly. There was a first Ronda Rousey.
Who's the kid who just did the crazy flip?
What?
Who's 19 years old, and he looks like Zach from Saved
by
Sage?
The Bell. You talking about Sage Northcutt?
Sage Northcutt. You don't know what he can turn into.
But he's not
he could be a megastar.
But my point is, he's not the first woman in mixed martial arts as the only bantamweight champion, wrecking people in 30 seconds, starring in The Expendables, having her own, like, there's, she's an anomaly. There will be others that come after her, but she was the first.
And you use it. That's in every sport. Cool, there'll never be another Jordan, but I'm perfectly fine with a Kobe and LeBron. Like, it's cool. There's always another one. That's the thing about sports. She had a shelf life, whether it was today or whether it was 2 years from now. She was gone. You use them for as long as you can use them, because tomorrow is always going to be rough. It's always going to be iffy. They can always be gone.
I'm just saying, this isn't good for Dana White. You made it seem like this is great for Dana White. This is
great. This rematch is great for Dana White.
Yeah.
And we'll now see. UFC 200 with this on the card and with a possible McGregor fight.
Well, let's not guarantee that this goes. We wait this out until 200.
I mean, if she's obligated to the movie, like Dana said in the post fight interview he just did an hour ago, if she's obligated to do the movie and she's already signed on and she still has to take the same amount of time, in which he told Ariel today on air on Fox Sports 1, then I'm going to anticipate it's still UFC 200.
So you think Holly's going to wait and fight until next July?
Now that is the question.
Okay.
Does he let Holly fight and risk losing the rematch money?
Does Holly versus Misha do numbers?
No, Holly versus Misha is a Fox Sports 1 card.
Uh-oh. And what if Misha beats Holly?
That's what I'm saying. Do you risk the money or do you just say no, you can't fight?
I mean, I don't think Dana White's not that type of person. He never has been. If there's going to be somebody,
it's a long way away. Yeah, I mean,
ain't nobody waiting 7 months to fight.
Connor, wait. Well, that was July. He's damn near at 6. He's almost at 6 months waiting for Aldo.
I mean, he didn't wait. He fought Chad Mendes, but I'm saying the newly.
No, counseled. I mean from that Mendes date till now, yeah, it's a pretty long.
Yeah,
wait.
I don't think Holly's going to sit around on the bench until next July.
It's rough. I mean, I don't know how he plays that.
Yeah.
That's the only question mark. How do you play that? Do you let her fight and risk the big match, I guess, big rematch money? It's crazy. I don't know what he does in that regard. She'll probably push to fight, which makes it even harder because she has to earn a living.
Exactly. She got to earn a living and she's the champ. And there's yeah. other women. Like, you don't want to hold up the entire division for one fight.
And I think his relationship with Ronda and just the business sense of it would say, yes, do that. But if it could go on an earlier card, then maybe. The other card is April.
I mean, I'm
saying, MSG card.
I'm just saying, you don't wait till 200, and then let's just say, okay, you wait until 200, and then Ronda or Holly gets hurt.
Yeah,
that's totally plausible. And it's like, you don't want to hold up the entire division for one fight, because 200 is going to be big kind of regardless, because they're going to stack the card. But so, of course, I mean, who's the biggest loser in this? Cyborg. What do you do with Cyborg now?
Cyborg is mad as hell. She's cutting down to 140. Right?
She's been cutting down to 140, but she could come into the UFC and run through everybody. She could do that.
She could. I mean, you could give Cyborg and Misha a fight. If Home fights and then you give Cyborg a fight, maybe you build that as your next fight. And if Ronda doesn't want to come back right away.
For the diehard MMA fan, this is great. For people like you and me, this is great because now it opens up the division. We can see matches we haven't seen before.
Definitely.
Kat Zingano's still hanging around. But I'm saying from a big, like the big boom of today, like when Manny Pacquiao got flattened by Juan Manuel Marquez, his numbers plummeted. He wasn't the same guy anymore. So it hurts the casual fan. But for us, this is great. Watching Ronda get knocked out, I figured it happened sooner or later. But like I said, the omens were there for me. I just didn't want to believe them. Watching 30 for 30, seeing her on the cover, listening to her. And even yesterday at the weigh-in, when I watched Ronda, I was like, oh, that's what Ronda needs. I feel like she needed to juice herself up for this fight. Like, she was like,
and I think she was overly emotional.
Yeah.
She was spent, once again, maybe it was emotionally. I took it as being physical and her, you know, being out of shape. But if you say it was mentally and those jabs did her in, or in the left did her in before, like, you know, midway through the first round, she probably was just spent emotionally.
It's an adrenaline dump, man. Like, you come in there, you don't touch gloves. You're like, you fighting the preacher's dog that you have respect, and now you geeked yourself up for this fight. Like,
yeah.
And then when it happens, you're like, oh, I'm going to beat this bitch ass. Like, that's what she's thinking. Oh, yeah. Bop, bop. She gets hit, and she's like, wait a minute. Help. Like, what do I do?
Yeah, that's it. She was probably like, oh, I'm going to take her out of here in 1 minute for that stupid shit she did to me yesterday. She hit me in the face. Watch what I'm going to do to her. And then a minute goes in, and she's like, damn, I'm getting hit in the face. Boom. Energy gone. Now, hey, doubts in your mind.
You know, there's a lot of consideration. I wonder if Vince McMahon's getting ready to call. Hey, Ronda, you don't need this shit anymore. Come to the WWE.
Oh, yeah. Tons of people are saying, oh, well, she just might walk away now. Ronda's not retired
on
this loss.
She's not retired. She'll be back, and she's gonna need a lot of work. She's going to talk to her mom before she talks to her coach and make a decision. Because can this team help her beat somebody like Holly Holm, because now she's been exposed, like Tyson was exposed.
Yes, those four horsewomen chicks, you know what? They got bounced out of the UFC. They're not going to get it done.
No.
FYI. Like, you kind of now have to go somewhere, and Holly has a team behind her. She has other great people in her gym to learn from and to bounce ideas off of. Ronda needs to now do that.
There's something that may need to change. So now, when we look at, you guys, you and Ryan, you know, shout out to both of you. We'll talk about it on this week's longer episode. You guys held it down, but there was a discussion about Ronda being a pound-for-pound fighter. So, does she completely fall off the pound-for-pound list now?
Yeah, I mean, you can't take an L like she did today and get KO'd and get dominated before that without falling off of the pound-for-pound
list. I mean, Anderson Silva did against Chris Weidman.
Yeah, and that's the same thing I was about to use an example.
He didn't fall off the pound-for-pound list. He didn't fall off the pound-for-pound list. He's still there.
Anderson Silva's still on the pound-for-pound list?
Absolutely. He lost to Chris Weidman.
That's ridiculous.
How is that ridiculous? Anderson Silva...
Because he was dominated.
But Anderson Silva beat everybody else for how many years? So he remained on the pound-for-pound list. He lost to one man who beat his ass. That's like Frankie Edgar. Frankie Edgar... He couldn't beat Jose Aldo, but he's still a pound-for-pound fighter in a lot of people's eyes.
No, that's very true.
But Ronda...
I feel like this is different because she has to be under Holly.
Well, that's my point.
How far up does Holly bump?
I knock Ronda completely off the list.
That's what takes her down.
Yeah, Ronda falls off the list completely for me.
Weidman can jump... I mean, what? He's like the third best pound-for-pound fighter right now in the UFC?
Yeah.
Arguably?
Yeah.
John Jones is back, so he's third. So having Anderson Silva still on the list, okay, I can kind of see it. You lost to the third best guy. Now John Jones is back, so Aldo is the second. Frankie Edgar, you lost to the second best guy. That's the only guy you can't beat.
Well, yeah, You didn't even lose to number two in your division. You lost to, I think, Holly's ranked number seven.
Yeah, she was number seven. But Ronda, to be fair, she beat one through five already?
She did, but the newness of the division has always been a problem for me. It's hard to rank these girls because it still has that fresh car smell. So you're still like, just like the, Joanna's division, it's like you're still trying to shuffle these girls around and figure out where they're at.
You know, exactly, tonight was a good fight.
Yeah. Oh, well, it was a good fight. You know, Letourneau, she gave her all, but Joanna just beat the shit out of her like I expected her to do. You know, Joanna's the real deal. Now, I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to put Joanna on the pound-for-pound list. Do you put her on the pound-for-pound list?
No, a couple more.
She needs a couple more.
Her division's actually deeper, by the way, so I can see her creeping up on that list because it's going to be some tough fights for her.
Well, she has to, if she ends up fighting Claudia, that's where the issue is at, because Claudia, she beat her in a split decision. That was a very close fight. She does, in my eyes, she needs a couple more fights. But she's a champ. You might be able to put her at like 15 on the pound-for-pound list. But, we can discuss that, on the next show. But right now, the fall of Ronda Rousey is wow. the way she got dominated.
We haven't even seen the worst of it yet. Well, we'll see. Right now, how do those sponsors react? She just inked like the Monster deal or whatever not too long ago. She was the face for Adidas pretty much. Reebok. She just got the cover of UFC 2, the video game.
Yeah, in
which
that sucks.
When I wrote that post yesterday, I was like, you would think they'd wait the 2 days to announce who's on the cover. Because if she loses, what do you do now?
That's what I said. The omens were all there. There was too much going on that were foregone conclusions saying that Ronda was going to win, completely disrespecting Holly Holm. And even, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those guys who's like, man, I saw it. I never saw it happening. But I just got a bad feeling. I was like, man, y'all putting a lot of stock on this. And if something bad happens, what are you going to do? So now the question is, like, what do you do? You can't take her off the cover of UFC 2. You can't take her out of Roadhouse. You can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's on the cover of Ring Match. She's on the cover of a boxing publication. And Holly Holm is the boxer.
And which I said on the podcast, you put them both on the cover. Like, it's a world championship boxer.
There was just
like,
so
I don't know how
disrespect.
Holly wasn't on there and how they didn't think of that. And someone in the ladder should have just had that common sense and say, Holly, is it the actual boxer? How about we feature them both?
Well, you know, it was a subscription thing. It's like putting Ronda on the cover. If Ronda would have won, that magazine would have sold past today. Having Holly Holm on the cover of Ring Magazine and Holly gets decimated, the magazine actually has a shorter shelf life because it just came out last week.
So but I feel like they can both be on the cover. No?
But they can't, because what I'm saying is if Holly would have lost tonight, then that the cover of that magazine doesn't have the same impact, because now you have two people and you already know the end result of that fight. If Ronda's on the cover, it extends its shelf life beyond the next month because it's just Ronda Rousey. But you put Holly on it, you basically put a timeline on when this expires. So I get why they did it in the sense of, you know, getting subscriptions. Full disclaimer, I work for Ring Magazine. I don't know the inner workings of how Ronda got the cover. I'm sure I'm going to talk to Doug Fisher and the team this week. And we're going to have a long discussion about, hey, guys, what the fuck? But but I understand the mentality behind it and why Holly didn't get the cover with Ronda. You know, when you put two people on the cover, it basically dates your issue. And as soon as the fight happens, nobody buys the issue anymore. But now nobody's going to buy your issue because Ronda just got beat the fuck up.
Yeah, I was about to say, she just lost, so there goes that.
High risk, high reward. So now you just lost. Very high risk.
Before we end this special episode, is this the biggest upset UFC history?
Yes. I tried to put it in there with Matt Serra, GSP. But GSP wasn't the GSP that we knew. GSP wasn't wrecking people in 30 seconds like Ronda was. This is the biggest upset in UFC history.
Wow, hands down.
I debated. As soon as it happened, I really started debating. I was like, damn, is Matt? Because Matt Serra had no business being in there with GSP that night. And I remember watching that fight and being shocked. And I was like, this is the biggest upset? I mean, the only other upset... But even people called Chris
Weidman.
This
is bigger than Weidman and Silva?
But people called Weidman beating Silva. Nobody gave Holly Holm a chance. Nobody.
Who called that?
Oh, a lot of people. Oh, come on. A lot of people said that Anderson Silva's biggest problem was going to be against a strong wrestler. There were a lot of people that said that Weidman was going to give Silva hell in that fight.
Well, because everyone saw the Chael fights, and then they're like, oh, Weidman's a lot better than Chael.
Yeah. So
in all aspects.
It was as shocking as it was, because as dominant as Anderson Silva had been throughout his career, it was shocking, but it wasn't so far-fetched that Chris Weidman couldn't be. There's a lot of people that are MMA diehards that would sit there and go, I could see that. I guarantee you there's nobody who is an MMA journalist who has been watching UFC since the Royce Gracie days that is sitting there going, I saw Holly Holm beat Ronda Rousey's ass. Nobody saw that coming.
I think Rashad Evans predicted the exact round of the knockout for Holly.
Yeah, he was reaching.
On the pre-show. Like, he was dead serious, too.
I mean, dude.
I was like, yo.
In hindsight, 2020, a lot of people say that, but I don't think anybody believed that Holly Holm would beat Ronda Rousey. I don't think anybody believed it. Chris Weidman, a lot of people saw it. I didn't think it was going to happen. A lot of people saw it. A lot of people predicted it. There were not a ton of people, but there were predictions. Nobody had Matt Serra beat GSP. That was the biggest upset in MMA history, in my opinion. Nobody, because Matt Serra just came off the Ultimate Fighter. He was like a middling welterweight, and he's fighting the champ. But even GSP wasn't as dominant as Ronda Rousey had been. And everybody thought once Ronda got her hands on Holly, it was over. Ronda got her hands on Holly, and it wasn't over. And she got dominated and knocked the fuck out.
Knocked out cold. Yo, the memes, crazy.
I haven't even looked yet. Like I said, I'm fresh off of watching this.
Oh, that shit is fire. They got one where, like, the kick knocks the sonic rings out of her. I was dying. It's like real tears. The Jordan face is on her, and, like, every aspect.
I think I saw
that. They put the crying Jordan face on it.
I think I saw that. But, the, you know, now we can, I can legitimately say, without the background, like the inside, the super inside stories, that Ronda Rousey and Mike Tyson's careers parallel each other.
Damn. And there's that picture where Mike Tyson went and visited Ronda during training and all that stuff. It's crazy.
The parallels are real. The dominance was real. The holes in the game that got exposed were real. Mike Tyson had holes in his game. Ronda Rousey has holes in his game. But she was so dominant in other areas. Intimidation alone beat a lot of women. Intimidation alone, Mike Tyson beat a lot of fighters. She just got exposed tonight. And, you know, we'll talk about this more later on the week. But, yeah, well, you know, it's 1 in the morning. I got some writing to do. I got a lot of writing to do tonight.
Me too. Editorial due in the morning. I'm trying to get some sleep. It is what it is. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for requesting this special show. Thank you guys for listening. Again, I can't say that enough, man. Tonight really showed the support for the show and for us and for what we do. I got hit up so much on Twitter. Andreas wasn't even watching a fight live. He just saw tons of text messages and alerts from his Twitter. It's amazing to see the support that we have. And I can't wait for the regular show this week. Andres is back. No more sickness.
No more sickness. Survivor Series preview. Canelo Cotto week. And, yeah, we got a lot to talk about, bro.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. So until then, I'm going to let him go to sleep. He got brunch in the morning.
Indeed.
We're out.
Peace.
Educated. The corner was our time when time stood still in gators and snakeskins and yellow and pink and